Hi, Sander. How are you? And this is a trick question. What are the hallmarks of innovative thinkers?
Good question, Jill. All is well here. I decided to take it from a best-selling book called The 100-Mile Walk. It was on the Business Week bestseller list for 16 weeks and written by somebody you know well.
What's that name? Is it Flaum?
Yes!
Got it.
So we haven't discussed the hallmarks of innovative thinkers in a while. So I went back to the book because and now we need it more than ever, right? With the situation, the whole political situation. And so let's start with hallmarks. There are many of them. Number one is the purpose. Purpose. Great leaders develop a specific purpose for a product or idea about which consumers never dreamed of. For example, the Google, Siri, Facebook, or Amazon and Jeff Bezos. Remember Jeff Bezos? We can sell anything to anybody. Remember Jeff Bezos started selling books out of his parking garage. And look at him now. I mean, we're the second richest man in the world, Jeff Bezos. Okay. So that's purpose. That's purpose. A product or ideas about which consumers never dreamed of. These things, right? You know, Instagram. Who ever even dreamed of Instagram? Things like that. Two, persistence. Persistence. They do not give up until the product or idea is generated and supported financially. Albert Einstein, as much as I don't like his anti-Semitic remarks, Einstein failed 2,000 times before the light bulb was invented. Mark Zuckerberg overcame lawsuits from his classmates at Harvard over his Facebook idea. So Henry Ford, developing the first mechanical automobile. Persistence, persistence, persistence. Never quit. Exquisite execution, number three. How do I execute seamlessly and make my investors satisfied with their funding in my venture? It's all about execution. You know, we have lots of ideas, right? You go to a meeting, wonderful, wonderful ideas come out of the meeting, but who does the execution? That's what it's about. It's exquisite execution is a hallmark of great, great leaders. Next, benign paranoia. Leaders have a sense of benign paranoia all the time. Nothing out there will be better than my idea or a product. And they look at the competition all the time. They're on vacation, sitting on the beach. What do? Benign paranoia. While I'm away, who is developing a better product or a better company than I have? Next, people. People. Great leaders surround themselves with people as smart or smarter than they are in areas where they are not sufficient. I'm not good at operations. I'm not a great financial guy. I had a great operations person, a great financial person. And, you know, I was just blessed by having these wonderful people around me where we develop, you know, ourselves, the big agency, to number two in the world without any acquisitions. The Havas Group, right? No acquisitions, internal growth, organic growth, to number two in the world. Next, performance. You can be cool looking. You can be, 6'3", dressed in great Carnelli suits. You don't do the performance. You don't hit the numbers. You're out. So next is performance. Seven, I want to talk about something no one really talks about. That is, great leaders have perspective. If, your key people, one of your key people comes in and says, hi, Sandra. He goes back to the desk, and that's not her. She doesn't really sound well. You have a cup of coffee with her. You come to her desk, have a cup of coffee with her, and find out what's troubling her. Well, there's a trouble with one of my kids. But look, why don't you go home, take care of your child, and then, you know, you'll come back to work afterwards. Perspective. Great leaders have perspective about people, important ones, okay? Next, principles. Principles. No matter how good and smart you are, you have to have the principles, or you're going to be in big trouble. Like some of the corporations now have shifted third quarter sales to fourth quarter sales because they're not making the numbers, and they're going to get caught. One of them already has. Principles is terribly important now for innovative thinkers. You can't fool around with the numbers. Obviously, that principle too. We know how many of CEOs have been let go, or so many TV personalities have been let go because of sexual exploitation. No principles. Okay. Next, practice. We don't talk about practice a lot, but you have to practice these things we just discussed. Purpose, persistence, execution, benign paranoia, surrounding yourself with people as smart and smarter than you are in areas where you are deficient. Practice. You can't stop practicing. That things to do list has to be in front of you all the time. Okay? And then it's providence. Last. Providence. Luck. you just have to pray for the good luck. You've been turned down a couple of times by this important customer, and all of a sudden, you know, you send him an interesting article that would be of interest to him, and boom, you get a call. Hey, thanks a lot, Sander. Let's talk. There's an opportunity for you here to do some business with us. So providence, luck is terribly important. You have to keep looking for good luck. Okay? So those are the hallmarks of innovative thinkers, Jill, that I wanted to discuss with our listeners today from the book, The 100-Mile Walk.
Yeah, and people should read more, is all I can say. No, those principles, you watch them, and you – I'm trying to say this diplomatically. There have been a couple of things that have happened just in the last couple of weeks in business that sort of would make a, and it is earnings time. Yep. You know, you'd sort of want to just smack your head when you see it. You just wonder why people weren't a little more articulate, let's just say, about getting in front of the message, either that they've known for a year that the earnings weren't going to be fantastic, or that this thing with McDonald's that just happened, that seems that's one of those that raises more questions than it answers,
right?
Because then the HR person resigned as well, yeah. And yeah. You just the assumption that there's nobody out there who is going to question that, I think, is inefficient.
Yes.
And
the principles, Jill, you're right. I mean, the principles now are in the press every day. The you know, sex with an employee. Come on, how dumb can you be? You go back in history, Lauer, Matt, you know, NBC, Matt Lauer. Look what happened to him. Why would you have sex with an employee when you know, given the media today, you're going to be caught, okay? Someone knows about it. It goes online. You're dead. Why would you do that? How dumb can you be, particularly for CEOs?
Yeah, and that's the part that's sort of baffling. If you know that's going to happen, why would you do it?
Yeah.
And so that's where, is it, you can armchair psychologize all you want, but what is it that people don't think they're going to get caught?
Yeah, exactly.
And exactly. I think that that's just it's a phenomenally interesting condition.
Exactly. I mean, moving sales from the third quarter to the fourth, because you know you have to make the numbers at the end of the year. Come on.
But
you're going to get caught.
Right. And how can you not think that you're going
to do it again?
Right. How can you not think that you're going to get caught? So,
and the question, Shil, too, is the board of directors. How does the board of directors permit this to happen? Is all they're interested in is getting their check at the end of the quarter? Is that it? How do they permit that to happen? No way. No way.
No comment. Thank you very much, Sander Flaum, Leader's Edge.
Have a fun day, Jill.
You too.